This is Sid Williams of Lyceum Associates. We're pleased to welcome Greg Wallace today to discuss the software development industry as it relates to Microsoft's bid for Yahoo. For those unfamiliar with Lyceum, we develop and manage information networks that connect different stakeholders and topics of industry transition and execute this through small targeted forums. Among our clients, we count entrepreneurs, corporate executives, industry consultants, and institutional investors, all leaders in their respective business areas. Greg is a software entrepreneur and longtime member of the Lyceum community. His experience includes global technology marketing, market and economic research, as well as corporate management. He's also a frequent contributor to the newsletter Perspectives. His most recent piece, The Googleization of Technology, raised important concerns over applying an advertising-driven revenue model to internet-delivered software services. Greg, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Sid. Good to be here.
Well, everyone seems to focus on advertising as a primary catalyst behind Microsoft's decision to bid for Yahoo. To what extent do you feel that software development is playing a role? In other words, is there a Trojan horse strategy at play here? Could Microsoft, in fact, use Yahoo to defend its core proprietary model?
It's an interesting question, Sid. I think clearly that's something that people have been discussing. Yahoo is, it's no secret, a long-time user of open-source technology, contributor to open-source projects, and they are one of the companies that actually recently made a significant open-source acquisition, buying Zimbra, which up until its acquisition, and I guess still today, as part of Yahoo, is really the leading open source collaboration provider. So they make really an alternative to Microsoft's Exchange, but one that is accessed exclusively through the web using a rich web Ajax-enabled interface. Certainly, if this deal goes through, Microsoft would gain valuable open source exposure, if you will, both in terms of products that they can bring to market, such as Zimbra. They would also gain that knowledge that comes really only can come from long-term involvement in open source projects and as an open source user, because the culture really is fundamentally different from traditional hierarchical proprietary software business models. They couldn't be more different. So they would gain that, but I'm dubious as to how they will integrate those cultures because they are so different. I think that'll be a big challenge.
You've talked about in the past market shifts favoring thin clients. With all the talk now about cloud computing, do you see this as accelerating?
Absolutely. I mean, these are two sides to the same coin. One, there's a couple analysts out there that I read fairly regularly. One of them is Stephen O'Grady. He's an analyst at RedMonk. And the other is a journalist, formerly with ZDNet, and who recently joined CMP, a guy by the name of David Berlind. And when he was at ZDNet, he had his own blog and really wrote and did some very insightful interviews and product analyses, et cetera. And each of them, around the same time that I wrote the piece talking about thin clients for Perspectives, had made the observation that more and more they, when they're using their computer, they are in their browser, right? All of the applications that they access through the internet. And that's true for me as well. Really, my computer, as it were, is a glorified storage device, which, you know, it's a terrible storage device. It's, you know, incredibly susceptible to all kinds of failure, loss of data. It's insecure, right? So if others are like me in that they are accessing and so you know, you see basically these two trends occurring here. One is I can access everything through the internet, and there's an increasing number of high quality applications available as hosted applications. Software as a service is the buzzword that we always hear. And everybody's got ubiquitous broadband access. So you put these things together, and there is a realization on my part that you just don't need a big, expensive computer with a fast processor and tons of local memory and a big fat operating system. What do you need it for? I mean, I really hardly ever use the common applications that people think of when they think of, you know, the reasons to buy a big computer, desktop or laptop with a lot of memory and a fast processor. Now, this is not the case if you're a hardcore gamer, PC gamer, or, for certain sorts of corporate applications, yeah, there's still going to be a need. But I firmly believe that today there's probably 30 to 50%, depending on the organization, of people who use desktop or laptop computers that don't need them, that could replace them with a thin client, because the applications that they need are available as hosted applications. And you can just go down the list. I mean, everything's out there. And it's not just from Google, although I happen to think Google has great solutions in the areas of blogging and in the areas of email, calendaring, collaboration, applications. I'm a heavy user, as you know, of Google Apps, the document, the Excel spreadsheet, and now they've got PowerPoint presentations. It's not called PowerPoint, it's presentations. And they're excellent, and they're all accessible via the web. And I store them all remotely through Google. So I can access them from any computer in my house. So if I'm downstairs in the TV room and I'm using my wife's computer, all I have to do is log into my Gmail account, and I've got full access to all of my documents. It makes document mobility and transportation much easier. Yes, I absolutely think. And there's one other trend that thin computing plays that supports the argument for thin computers and or thin clients, and that is green computing. It's a huge initiative. Thin clients draw much less power than a standard desktop or laptop. They are typically fanless. They generate much less heat. You can use a much slower processor. There's no memory, etc. So you're drawing a lot less power, and this is huge. This is a really big thing that people are very interested in finding ways to do. So I absolutely think that the time for thin clients has come. As I've mentioned to you before, I think I'm waiting for the time that, just like today, you can walk into your local Sprint or Verizon Wireless or AT&T Wireless store, and they have bunches of not the top of the line phones, but good phones that work perfectly fine, that they basically give you when you sign up for a service contract. I think it's only a matter of time before you start to see internet service providers just throwing in a thin client, essentially, with a two-year DSL type of agreement. I can think of, everybody I know in my family, myself included, could replace their household, big, fat desktop computer with all of its, fast processor and memory with thin client.
And thinking of the different players, we've talked about Microsoft, obviously, with respect to the deal or the potential deal with Yahoo. Google plays into this. Let's think about today's leading players and the context that we've provided to this. How might positions shift in your view?
Sure. This is a really interesting point. A lot of people are worried about Google's ascendancy and think that you know, they're sort of establishing their place in the market to be sort of the Microsoft of the next decade. And I'm not so sure that that's a good comparison. Certainly they've executed extremely well, and they are, you know, a huge presence on the internet and in consumers today, consumer internet use, and they have designs on the enterprise as well and are making great strides there. But I would say that there are significant differences between kind of the Microsoft model and the dominance that they had in the 90s and early 2000s with what Google has today. And specifically, that's around lock-in. You know, Google really, I think, is a good citizen in terms of being standards-based and making sure that, you know, if you want to move from Gmail to Hotmail or Yahoo Mail, it's easy to do. There's no barrier to you doing that. You know, Google has its own social networking property, ORCID, I think it's called, but it doesn't inhibit me or prevent or throw up any barrier for me to upload all of my Gmail contacts into non-Google social networking sites so that I can see who's a member. So the point is that I think today we are in a IT market and a software market that is marked by increasing competitiveness. And so I think that the shifts and the sort of who's up and who's down is going to change much more frequently and just much more rapidly than it has in the past. You know, a company that nobody talks about, or I don't think gets talked about enough, is Apple. Apple is absolutely on the rise as far as I'm concerned. Great products. They have a slightly different play. You know, they're a little bit like Google in that they are pretty strong in on the consumer side of things and, you know, not as strong on the enterprise, although, you know, they have some legacy there sort of with graphic designers, and they do actually have a whole line of server and storage products as well, which are, you know, very good but have a very small market share. But I think that market share is going to increase. So I would see Apple, as one of the companies that's doing extremely well. You know, I don't know. I mean, I would hate to count Yahoo out. I think they've got a lot of things going for them. But to be honest, I think that while I certainly understand the rationale from Microsoft's standpoint for wanting to acquire Yahoo, I think if it happens, a good friend of mine once used to say, you know, it would be a lot like two drunks holding each other up. I think that would be, you know, I doubt that would have the stated effect of creating a strong number two to Google. But a strong number two to Google will emerge. I have absolutely no doubt. Because of the fact that the internet is so hyper-competitive today. And that number two could be Wikia. It may well be Microsoft. I mean, people don't talk about the fact that Microsoft just bought Fast, which is the number one enterprise search company. So, you know, Google actually has an enterprise search solution. They put it in a nice, pretty server box that has Google all over it, and they sell it to you, and you put it in your business, and you use it to, you know, basically take advantage of Google search algorithms to find data on your internal corporate network. Well, just like Google does that, this company Fast does that. They are the leaders in that technology, but there's nothing that I can see that would prevent Microsoft from leveraging that technology and applying it in a sort of consumer internet type of way. So, you know, even sort of with all of the complexities associated with Microsoft and Yahoo, Microsoft could still emerge as that strong number two. to Google as far as internet search goes, and the associated app advertising revenue that comes with it. And you know, and it could be out of one of these emerging social networking sites. Could grow. LinkedIn, for example, is a really strong solution. It's growing like crazy. They've, according to their CEO, they have no intention of being acquired. They want to go public. I see them as being a really significant player. As far as I'm concerned, they've got the nicest interface of any of the social networking sites, although they do target a more professional sort of older demographic than, say, Facebook and MySpace do. I guess for me, the net of it is that it's just a really, really dynamic standards-based market where any lead that you have can be relatively easily replicated, and you know, the technology or the processes can be relatively easily replicated, and the lead can be eroded. And I think it's no coincidence, therefore, that a company like Google invests so heavily in its people, because ultimately that's the source of their competitive advantage. It isn't so much technology, because yeah, there is some special sauce to what they do, but there really is no lock-in to speak of. I'm free to move all of my stuff off of Google and onto Yahoo or onto MSN anytime I want to. Really, you know, with no consequences in terms of switching costs. So it's all a matter of delivering value. And that's a different ball of wax, and it's a different game than has been this sort of traditional software, name of the software game for a whole long time was about sort of erecting and then defending barriers to entry. And today it's just really hard to do that. Standards has made it so that that's just very, very difficult to do.
Well, it certainly sounds like there's a lot more to go down the road, and we'll be keeping an eye out on events as they continue to develop. Greg, thanks so much.
Thank you, Sid.
Read our newsletter for comments by Greg and others. The current issue features articles on PBM pricing, reputation management in online settings, risk management in the insurance industry, and market movement. For information about Lyceum, please visit us at www.lyceumassociates.com. I'm Sid Williams.